FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome, and you are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Carrie Lutz. It's 12:05:18. Well, we've seen a lot of movement, a lot of pullback in the stock market, in cryptos. We've seen gold and silver maybe start to regain a little life. Well, it's too soon to know that for sure. But as always, we invite you to be part of the show and to email us at kl@carrielutz.com. And with me now is Ken Amaduri of crushthestreet.com. We're going to be talking about cryptos. We'll be talking about the broader market, cannabis stocks, and whatever else pops into our heads. Ken, welcome back to the show.
Carrie, thanks for having me on. Hey. It's a very timely and consequential time to be looking at the market. So I'm glad to be on with you.
Hey, well, right now the markets have gotten a much needed rest, Ken, from it all, because they're closed, I guess, today for period of mourning for Bush 41. So I know I'm not getting any mail today. I don't know about you. The mail's not going to go. They suspended delivery right in the middle of Christmas season. So you know this guy was important, right?
Absolutely.
So hey, we've seen this massive crash in cryptos, and you and I are not surprised at all about it. It's a little more than a year ago. We were sitting at a restaurant in Austin. It was cold as heck out because you'd had a little cold snap in winter, talking about, like, hey, it's a good time to take crypto profits right now. You know, maybe it's not going to go to infinity. And here we are a year later. It crashed. It's below 4,000. It was below 4,000. I think it's trading, you know, I didn't even look today. Honestly, that's one of the things, you know, nobody cares about it because nobody's looking to see the price of Bitcoin. That's a pretty good indicator of the fact that it's out of favor.
Absolutely, Carrie. It's interesting what we saw in 2017, probably the greatest bull market of our lifetime, maybe the greatest one that we'll ever see. And it's something we'll always look back on and study and bring back analysis on, the psychology of the bull, the psychology of the bear. I mean, nobody was thinking, with all that was going on and all the positive news that cryptocurrency was getting during the year, that things would turn around and get this bad. I mean, there's not many people that could have had that foresight about that. But, you know, we've been through the precious metals bear market. We know that bear markets are brutal. And when I started hearing cryptocurrency by the mainstream media, and obviously that hockey stick type of prices, I was glad to have gotten in, largely gotten my readers in to cryptocurrency, specifically Bitcoin, very early. You know, we were accumulating up until the triple digits. And then, of course, it went in almost $20,000 Bitcoin, depending on what exchange you were looking at. But man, what a ride it was. And the brutality of the bear is going to thrash. Now, we saw Bitcoin come down for a few months, and there was a lot of denial. This is just a correction. We're going right back up. But then more bad news. And then we bottomed what seemed like a bottom at $6,000, and it traded in that range from August through November. And that really put people at ease, and markets do what they do best, and they wash and rinse investors, with the floor falling out from Bitcoin at $6,000 and almost hitting $3,000. I mean, it was what a ride, and that happened so fast. And the damage, the psychological damage that's coming out, and all of the ancillary ravishing that's going to be seen in the community is going to take its toll. And I think this bear market is going to play out for an extended period of time. But I have a game plan to get back in. We capitalized on Bitcoin and crushed the street to a very large degree in 2017. And we were able to get out at a very timely time. I mean, we didn't sell everything right at the top, but we sold, we trimmed profits on the way up. And that was done very well. And over the next 12 months, I have a game plan to get back into Bitcoin because I do believe there's a future for it. And I've written about this at crushthestreet.com/Bitcoin2019/2019. So if people want to learn more about that, they can visit that link.
All right, cool. So, you know, if you remember, we were at the North American Bitcoin Conference together last year, and they were talking about employment opportunities for blockchain developers, and they could write their own, basically write their own book, write their own offer. And now I think it's getting to be like that old joke after the crash of 87. How do you call an investment banker? Waiter. You know, I think that's how you call a Bitcoin developer, waiter, because there's certainly there's still opportunities. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that it's dead, but they can't just write their own package anymore, man. You know, it's like they have to, they're expendable now, right?
Yeah, well, you know, markets move too fast, too quickly. And, you know, the synergy of positive news that came out during 2017 got the community way ahead of itself. We were at that North American Bitcoin Conference in January, and that was actually when Bitcoin was off of its high. It was around $10,000. I specifically remember that when we were there. It had fallen 50% pretty quickly. But keep in mind, people bought their tickets at $20,000 Bitcoin. Yes. So it was maxed out. The capacity of that conference, it was they were breaking records. It was the biggest one, you know, that they've ever had. And, you know, Dash sponsored an evening over at a strip club. I mean, it was Wolf of Wall Street.
And crazy. They got real nasty feedback from that on
Bloomberg.
On Bloomberg and on Zero Hedge. They got real negative reviews for that. I mean, obviously it's not politically correct to do that type of stuff now.
But it's a point that I was just trying to make, that it was absolutely craziness. I mean, Lamborghinis, people talking about the riches, and you know, it was typical bubble euphoria. How could things get any worse? And then you're talking about the people committing their lives to this and being developers. And I think there's going to be a lot of opportunities for that. But a lot of these ancillary projects, these projects that really especially don't have a lot of value, those are going to go first. And it's going to really start to consolidate into the main ones, which I'm biased towards Bitcoin. But, you know, there might be other projects out there that do well and have different use cases. Yes. But when it comes to sound money, I think Bitcoin is the place to be. And I know there's different people who have different perspectives on this. I do believe it's more speculative than, let's say, precious metals. But I do believe that there is a value proposition for Bitcoin, and it's proven itself time and time again. And we are far from saturated, and that's what makes this different. We still have a lot of institutional money that needs to come into the space. And when we do start to see this, the pension funds, the hedge funds, hedge funds that just want a non-correlated asset, of course, we can talk about crypto hedge funds that specifically invest in crypto that are going to start investing in these cryptocurrencies. Mm-hmm. And all of this is going to add market cap to the space. And I do believe that is ultimately going to come, as opposed to, let's say, precious metals, gold and silver. I believe these are assets that are severely undervalued based on what we are expecting to happen to our currencies. But aside from that, the market is saturated. The world understands gold. The world has been introduced to gold and silver, and we've had 5,000 years to figure out the price, on top of the manipulation that, you know, we obviously know is suppressing these metals. But this is as opposed to Bitcoin, which is still largely needing to be introduced to the world in many ways. So I'm optimistic on a couple fronts that this is starting to look like a good time to accumulate, to dollar cost average into Bitcoin. We're not going to know exactly when the bottom is going to be fully in. So expect some serious volatility. You know, bear markets are brutal. You might buy at 3,800 and it might go in half. That's a reality. But if the thesis is correct and we do ultimately see $50,000 and $100,000 Bitcoin, you know, the 40, 50% loss you take now will be, you know, immaterial. But you have to have that sort of belief in it. If you don't, this isn't the space for you.
Yeah. And I think there's no law that says you have to chase any market rising or falling. And, you know, if you're not comfortable with it, if you don't understand it, okay, perhaps that's the most important thing, Ken, is if you don't understand it, then don't get involved in it, period. Regardless whether it's cannabis or technology or any of that stuff, if you don't get it and you're mystified by it, stay away, because nothing good is going to come from it in all likelihood, because you're not understanding it, you don't know what to do, and then what happens? You know what happens. You wind up getting spooked. It goes down. You get out. And that turned out to be the best buying opportunity that was there. And what are you left with now, right?
Well, and I'll point this out now. A lot of the people on YouTube and proponents for cryptocurrencies, you know, they're backing up, say, well, it's not about the price anymore. You know, it's about the fundamentals. And, you know, while I understand the tenor of what they're saying and I empathize with what we are seeing, absolutely, the price matters. The price is what got everyone interested in the first place. It's why we have CME and CBOE futures. It legitimized cryptocurrencies to a degree, because it was very valuable. Money attracts talent, money attracts interest, and price absolutely matters. So the reverse is true for everyone who bought at $15,000 Bitcoin, and then I'm using that as the benchmark for everything else that they were buying at that very same time, and now are looking at 80, 90% losses, or, you know, with some of the altcoins and whatever they might be down with on Bitcoin. It's a brutal thing, and it's going to take a lot of making up. We're not going to see people get back into the space in many ways until we get back to $15,000, because in bear markets, we might bottom, you know, Bitcoin might go back to 6,000 per se, and, you know, people are comfortable once again, and then markets do what they do, go back to 4,000, and they're down, you know, a major amount on their initial investment. And, you know, we've seen that even with precious metals in 2016, we came off of the bottom of the December 2015 low in gold. And, you know, we shot up past 1300 in a very quick fashion. We were all very optimistic on what was happening in gold and silver, only to be disappointed, quite frankly, into 2017 and 2018. So I think this bear market is going to take a lot of upside convincing to get people back in. And you're going to have to really stomach the volatility and believe in it, like you said, and understand it.
Yeah, and embrace it, because it's the way to profit. But if you don't have the stomach for it, stay out. But something you might have the stomach for are cannabis stocks. Now, just yesterday, Altria, formerly known as Philip Morris, and that is, I believe, their domestic. There's Philip Morris split into two different corporations, international and domestic. I think Altria is domestic. And they announced a huge, big minority investment in a company called Juul, J-U-U-L. And they guesstimate, Ken, that the size of the domestic cannabis market, both medical and recreational, is somewhere around $56 billion annually. And the article I was reading said that last year, the market for e-cigarettes was $6.6 billion. So when you see a Philip Morris, and let's just call him Philip Morris because they're Philip Morris by any description. When you see Philip Morris getting into the picture here, you got to believe that this thing is real and it's going to continue onward. and upward.
I'm very optimistic about this. And for those who've been following the cannabis stocks as of the last couple of weeks, it's been in a bit of a ride, especially after we had that federal Canadian legalization. Yes. We've seen a lot of correcting because, you know, a lot of these stocks were pricing in all of the excitement that's been going on. But this is a correction phase in an overall long-term bull run. I think there's no stopping this. And this is an example of what we can expect down the line. You mentioned a figure for how much this value should be. I think the IMF estimated that the global cannabis market is $150 billion. Mm-hmm. And it's huge. It's this decriminalization of this $150 billion industry going from the black market to the mainstream and the on-ramps and the ancillary businesses and, yes, and everything that supports the cannabis space is going to be huge down the road. I think there's going to be so much opportunity here, and those getting positioned in it are going to benefit greatly. And, you know, as opposed to cryptocurrency, which is going to have a lot of roadblocks regulatory agencies, and, you know, they're not going to want anything that's going to compete, obviously, with the mainstream fiat dollars. Mm-hmm. This is an industry which I believe is going from the black market to largely legalized. And there's going to be a lot of tax revenues that come in. Mm-hmm. States like Colorado, Washington, California are experiencing this. And of course, once the government gets hooked on these tax revenues, they become the biggest proponents for it. And we're not going to see this go away. And again, this news with these major companies, you know, establishing themselves in this, this just goes to show, and we're going to see more of this adoption, this mindset of people not looking at cannabis the way they have in, you know, prior decades, that this is some sort of drug that's equivalent to heroin or cocaine, but something that is aside next to alcohol and cigarettes, most likely even more superior. So very bullish Reefer on the madness. Cannabis space, and I'm optimistic for what's down the pipe.
It's the old reefer madness thing here. I think we're starting to outgrow that as a society. We were totally scammed because people, you know, Ken, back in those days, actually believed what the government had to say, even when they were out and out lying. And, you know, when you trace back the history of the cannabis prohibition, the prohibition started because they had all of these bureaucrats who were left over supporting alcohol prohibition that were going to be out of a job. So this guy, Henry Anslinger, said, hey, reefer madness, let's go after him. And, you know, things have never been the same since. And, you know, the scam went on and on for almost 100 years here, Ken. It's
ridiculous. Well, you got to wonder why this hell-bent agenda has been on cannabis for so long. And, you know, I mean, I don't have specific data on it, but I mean, the pharmaceutical companies, you know, are very profit driven, and they have their pills and their chemical products that they're able to pump into the space. But, you know, you can't really patent a plant. There's you really can't, you know, in many ways, you know, put this plant in certain types of pills. I mean, there's ways to do it, but it's difficult for this pharmaceutical industry to profit with cannabis in the way that they have with their traditional conventional drugs. And so, it blows my mind why it was such a blatant crime and why it was so criminalized for all these years and putting people in jail and ruining their chances of getting a career because of this consuming of this plant. It's mind-boggling.
Oh, it's the lives that have been destroyed in the name of protecting the public from the dreaded demon weed. It's heartbreaking when you look at it to, you know, just hundreds of thousands of people. And, you know, and this took place throughout almost a 100-year period here. You know, in the 80s, they started some decriminalization, but it wasn't until Colorado moved and actually legalized it that we started to get some sanity in the space. And hey, I'm not advocating that everybody go out and get high. I think public intoxication is a bad thing. and really massive people driving and such. You don't want that. But you also don't want to be putting people in jail for imbibing in a substance that is probably safer than alcohol. By any measure, it's much safer than alcohol can. And yet, you know, we had this awful situation in society where all of these people were getting, you know, really their lives destroyed just because they did this. So maybe it's a little sanity coming back. Maybe we'll see other sanity occur, even though the insanity during President Trump's tenure here has never been greater. On the other hand, the guy is looking to end the Afghanistan war, which is totally, totally pointless and has been for quite some time, been an act of futility. So here we are. Maybe sanity really is coming back to America, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, let me comment on the cannabis, you know, and how it's been changing. We were speaking to a Democrat state legislator in Washington, the state of Washington, and, you know, we were talking to him, having a very reasonable conversation about how this is not as much of a bipartisan issue as it was in previous generations. Yeah. In the state of Washington specifically, you have Eastern Washington, which has a lot more of the farms, you know, inland, and then these people tend to be more on the conservative side. And then you have the coastal cities, which tend to be more liberal, which have the dispensaries, which are both sides are actually pro cannabis. And it's coming together because of just the sheer nature of it. And it's amazing how this groupthink is so hard to break. I mean, imagine if alcohol was criminalized up until 2012 and then Colorado legalized it. You know, if there was this agenda against alcohol, imagine the news stories that they would have been able to write. You know, drunk driving all over the place, alcohol poisoning, people in the hospital every other day because of, you know, overdosing on alcohol and beer and wine and hard liquors. But nobody cares to talk about those things because there isn't this group thing, passionate agenda against alcohol. Mm-hmm. But cannabis, there has been this group thing, passionate agenda against cannabis. Very and we're true. Really not even seeing that. We're not seeing these news stories because it's largely not an issue. People aren't dying. People aren't being physically damaged because of this drug. And again, it's a victimless crime that we're trying to criminalize people for. And it just makes no sense, which again, disproportionately has affected poor people and even a lot of minorities, if we want to put it quite frankly, which again is it makes no sense. It's been very futile to fight this war, and you know, we need to let this cannabis thing go.
Yeah, I mean, the hundreds of billions of dollars been spent on this war on drugs. It's really absurd. So good riddance, drug war. You know, we knew you well, but you're finishing up, and cannabis just the start of it. I read today that in Washington, Oregon, they wanted to legalize psilocybin mushrooms. I mean, look, I don't advocate use of any chemicals or mind-altering substances unless it's medically necessary. But kicking back, having a drink every now and then after work, after a hard day, or you go out to a restaurant, or perhaps you imbibe on some cannabis. There are things a lot, lot worse than that, Ken. And we need to get our priorities back as a country of what is worth fighting for and what do you just, you know, let it go. Just leave it alone. And hopefully this is a start. I don't know if it will be or not, but hey, we just got Michigan. They voted to legalize recreational last election. Two other states voted to legalize medical. The only defeat was in North Dakota, and I'm sure that the thing was worded incorrectly and people probably didn't understand what the heck was going on. Hey, if there's anybody out there in North Dakota, listening to us now, let us know why it was defeated in North Dakota, because I really would like to understand. Hey, Will, that's it for now. Hey, just one other question quick about the broader market. You know, we've seen it take a real hit yesterday, 800 points down, supposedly because Trump said he is the tariff man, you know. you know, like, so he's the tariff man. What can you do here? You know,
absolutely. Well, you know, we've definitely seen a lot of volatility. The volatility in 2018 has been the theme for the entire year. Mm-hmm. And so what we saw yesterday was just more fear in the markets. And then we saw a technical breakdown with the yield curves. A lot of the algorithms just basically did their thing, and there was a big sell off. But absolutely, these are problems. And when you break it all down, it comes back to interest rates, because that's the ultimate issue that has got us to where we are now. And we're at unsustainable levels. And so if we do have a continued rising of the interest rates, which the Fed is trying to do, and I believe they're damned if they do, damned if they don't at this time, because if they do raise rates, it's going to perpetuate the problem that we're seeing in real estate, perpetuate the problem that we're seeing in just the uncertainty of the economy. But it's also going to signal weakness if the Fed has to back off. So in many ways, the damage has been done. We're going to have to cycle through this. I mean, we're seeing the bear market play out in Bitcoin. Do we need a cycling out, a washing out of a lot of the euphoric bull run that we've seen in stocks? And so I think things can turn. And as much as people can't fathom what a recession might look like after we've had this, you know, really historic bull run in stocks, it's very much similar. And I liken it to maybe something like the Bitcoin market, although the Bitcoin market is much smaller and much more speculative. But the mindset of people going from this overly optimistic state to, you know, very, very pessimistic, fearful, and letting people go and going into like this tailspin of an economy is very possible too. And as far as Trump goes, I like a lot of the things Trump has done. I think there's a lot of posturing that he's doing. He's playing 3D chess with these leaders. I don't necessarily think he wants to have tariffs, but he wants to level the playing field. And I think having these straightforward face-to-face discussions with these leaders is bringing these topics to the table. And they're getting addressed. And I think that's what the underlying importance is about this. Rather than just letting the U.S. get trampled on with the same old, and absorbing the cost of the rest of the world, Trump is starting to put the U.S. first. And he's using this as a way to gain concessions from other countries. And I think that is going to be the theme of what we see during the Trump presidency. A lot of this is noise. And nuances from, you know, all of the problems that we've had in the past. And Trump is doing the best he can to maintain a very unstable situation. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see this thing play out. Could the floor fall out from under the stock market here and a bear market really start to get brutal? I think it's very possible.
Yeah, it could easily get out of control here, and just watch the Fed, because well, you know, they already kind of blinked a little bit saying, well, maybe we don't need to raise interest rates three times in the coming year. We'll see. What about December? You know, are they going to actually put it through? That's what I'm curious to see. I don't know the answer to it, but my guess is they will cop out. They will wind up, you know, trying to say they're not being accommodative. And actually, they will be. So, you know, they're going to become dovish. I just feel it's inevitable here, Ken. You know, it's based on prior behavior by the Fed, you know, and I don't see where they can afford to allow the stock market to tank right at this particular moment. That would be a major blow to the status quo.
Well, everything gets dependent on current prices. The real estate market might correct, but people are dependent on home selling and homes prices going up and being able to buy their cars and refurbish their house and go on vacation based on a rising market environment. Because again, everything is like a domino effect. If that's not happening, then companies start to go in the reverse. They start to lay people off and then they can't make their payments. There's defaults that happen. Then the car companies don't make as much money. The restaurants don't make as much money. And it's a chain reaction. It's the butterfly effect. And it's the reason why people really can't wrap their mind around how bad things can get, because they're just looking at one aspect, but they don't take into consideration the chain reactions that take place during these things. So as good as things can go on the upside, the downside can be just as bad. And keep in mind, everything overcorrects when they do. So expect when things do start to turn around, which we're already starting to see, because I have my bias towards Trump, I hope it doesn't happen on his watch. But if it does, and it very well can, things can get pretty brutal out there.
Yeah, things can. The business cycle hasn't been repealed. Hey, Kent, it's been great having you on. As always, where's the best place to find you these days?
Hey, if people want to reach out to me and learn more about what I do, they can visit me at crushthestreet.com. Again, we have a brand new report updated. If you want to look at what I'm doing with Bitcoin, visit me at crushthestreet.com/Bitcoin2019. Kerry, thanks for having me on the show.
Hey, always a pleasure. And questions, comments, be a part of the show. We invite you to be. The email address, kl@kerrylutz.com. Twitter feed at Kerry Lutz. Facebook page, Financial Survival Network. If you're watching this on YouTube, please subscribe, like, and share. And if you're just listening to this on a regular podcast, share it with friends. Let them know about the show. Ken, we'll talk to you again real soon. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you, sir. Have a good one.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.